Hi. Now, in this lesson, we've entered into the realm of book design. And there is no way I'm going to be able to teach you as a bonus for the roadmap course everything about how to design your books. And in fact, that would really be unnecessary. I anticipate that most people taking this course are going to take my advice and hire a professional book designer to do their interior, although I know there are a lot of people who want to do it themselves. Now, whichever way you go, I think it's really useful for you to know something about book design and how it works. And that's why I'm going to go through this lesson with you, because there's a lot that goes into actually designing books, even though they look really, really simple. And I know they're just prosaic items. We've grown up with them. We're just so used to having books around. So let's dive in and take a look at my first topic, which is really one of the basics of book design, and that is you have to design with your reader in mind. Now, what exactly does that mean? There are a lot of parts to books. If you break down a book, which of course I have to do as a book designer, for instance, we have the front matter, the body of the book, and then the back matter, and that can be divided further. The front matter might have a preface, an introduction. It could have a foreword, a table of contents. It has a copyright page, a title page, maybe a half title page, maybe two half title pages. Now, a lot of this is probably not that understandable to you, even though you've been reading these books your whole life. And what I'm trying to get at is that each of these parts of your book, for instance, a chapter opening page, that actually has a reason for being, and it's there to help the reader navigate through your book. For instance, you have various subjects you treat in different chapters, and this is true whether it's fiction or nonfiction. In fiction, you know, we're following the flow of the story, a change of location, a change of time, a change of perspective or viewpoint, and so we go to a new chapter. In the same way, in a nonfiction book, we group ideas by categories or for the flow of the book so that people can understand, if it's an instructional book, how you have to do step A before you do step B, whatever it happens to be in your particular case. So this convention arose hundreds of years ago about dividing books into chapters. Now, we also sometimes divide books into parts, and a part would have lots of chapters in it. So you'd have the book, and then parts, and then chapters, and then subsections of the chapters, which are sometimes identified with text breaks or subheads of various kinds. But what I'm trying to get across here is if you keep in mind a reader coming to your book who needs help knowing, for instance, what is covered in any particular section, what order it's in, what section they're reading in right now, where that plays a role in the scheme of the book as a whole. All of these things are affected by the way we design the book and segment the parts. And even down to the things like what's on the pages, for instance, running heads, and that's what you see at the top of the page usually, where it'll say the book title or the chapter title or the part title or the author's name. It's all there to help the reader navigate. And that includes page numbers. So the basic idea is we want to do everything we can in organizing the book to make it easy to read, easy to follow, and easy to understand. Let's face it, if the reader can't understand, or if they can't follow your story, or if they get confused about what time period they're in, you know, you're going to have a failed experience because the person will put the book down and walk away. I certainly know I've done that with books. You just get to a point where you just can't deal with it anymore. So you say, you know, the heck with this, I'm going to go read something else. Now, I don't want to see that happen to you. So that's kind of an overview of what we're looking at. Every time we come to something, we're going to make decisions based on the reader. And I'm emphasizing this because all too often, self-publishing authors are very excited about getting a book out and very excited about having a book with their name on it. And it's become so fraught with personal identification. In other words, people identify themselves with the book, that the book has to conform to their idea of how it should be or their idea of what cover it should have. After all, this is an expression of me. And, you know, so it should use the typeface I love, and it should have the colors I like the most. And this picture I took 5 years ago that I've just had pinned up on the fridge ever since, oh my God, it's so perfect. But that's not the way publishers make decisions about how to do books. And a lot of this has to do with book design. We don't decide on what we like. We decide on what the readers want. And I think that I've emphasized this throughout the whole Roadmap course, so this should come as no surprise to you. Now, the first task you're going to face in doing your book is picking a size. And there are lots of different sizes you can use for your books. And if you walk down to a local bookstore and look around, you'll see there's everything from little tiny books up to big, humongous books. So, you know, how do you pick a size? Well, like with everything else, the most intelligent place to start is to go over to the shelf where they're selling the books that are as similar to yours as possible. Every genre, category, or niche has a shelf in the bookstore or the library, and those are the books that you're going to be, in essence, competing against. Now, books don't really compete that much because they're all so unique, but the fact of the matter is that the readers of those books who have bought enough of them to make them successful enough so they're in the bookstore, they know what they want, and that's the place to start your research. Having said that, there are some very common and standard sizes in the book industry, and here I'm showing you that some standard sizes are 6x9. That's very common, and you've seen throughout the course, I use a 6x9 200-page paperback as my sample book for pricing and comparison. And the reason I picked that is because it's the most typical book that's produced by self-publishers. And it's also very common for traditional publishers to use 6x9. It makes a handy paperback, but when you bind it as a hardcover, it's a very impressive hardcover as well. Now, the other most common size is this 5.5x8.5 size. Now, you might look at that and say, well, gee, it's just a half inch smaller than a 6x9. But it really feels very different when you're holding it, when you're looking at it in a store, and when you're reading it. It's a little bit more personal. Obviously, the pages hold a little bit less because they're slightly smaller. You might end up, if you have a manuscript, you might end up with a little bit longer book as a 5.5, 8.5 than you would have as a 6x9. Now, this third size here, 5.25x8, is a very common size for books like novels or memoirs. It's a very, even more personal. It feels better in a sense in your hands. You know, one of these sizes isn't better than the others. They're just different for different uses. When I came to designing my own book last year, I actually picked this 5.25x8 because I was doing a lot of novels at the time and I really loved that size. So even though my book is nonfiction, I decided to do it in that smaller trim size, and I really like it. I've been very happy with that. Now, for some books, you might want to go bigger, and 7x10, this last size listed here, is a pretty common size available for most printers that will accommodate more stuff going on your page. For instance, if you're going to have a sidebar, an empty area on the outside margins so that you can run little text boxes or pull quotes or stuff like that in the sidebar, you're probably going to want a book that's a little bit wider because otherwise you're going to be cramming a little bit on the pages. And if you've got a lot of illustrations or graphs that people really need to see the detail in the graph or read the numbers or follow the trends or whatever it is, you might want to go with this larger size, 7x10. Now, having said that, there are a lot of options for sizes. And, you know, it really comes down to your particular printer. And these differ quite a bit whether you're using an offset printer or a digital printer. And what you're going to find is that digital printers have far fewer trim sizes available. They have very highly automated equipment, so they have to standardize on just a few sizes. Lightning Source, which I've talked about as a print-on-demand supplier, has the biggest range of sizes I know of. CreateSpace, the other big print-on-demand vendor, has fewer sizes, but still they have a pretty good selection. Having said that, there are some sizes you just can't get from print-on-demand vendors. Neither of these vendors, as far as I know, has yet offered a square book, for instance, like 8x8, which is a pretty common square book size. When you go to the offset printers, your size limitations kind of disappear, and they can, in effect, produce a book any size you want. Because paper comes in standard sizes from the paper mills, some sizes are going to be much more efficient, i.e. they're going to cost less money to produce if your book size is the right size for your paper stock. So it's really smart to ask your printer what's the most efficient size close to the one you want. For instance, you might say, look, I want a 7x10, and the printer might come back and say, well, you know, we can do a 6 7/8 by 10 1/8 book, and it would cost like 20% less than 7x10. Well, heck, you probably don't care if it's 1/8 inch off, but that could make a big difference to the printer because of the sheet sizes they're buying that paper in. And remember, as I said in an earlier module, these books are printed on very large presses with huge sheets of paper. So it's kind of an exacting science laying that out. And my best advice, after you check your genre and see what other people are doing and what range you want to be in, is then to decide who's going to print your book and talk to them to get some advice.